Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Gary Stewart of Conscious Connection. Happy to have my friend Francesca Mason Boring back for the second part of our interview. We had so much to discuss, we didn't get to it on our last interview a couple weeks ago, and I thought what better time than Thanksgiving weekend to discuss connecting to our ancestral past, which is the title of her book, and it's Healing Through Family Constellation, Ceremony and Ritual. And she's also written another fantastic book called Feather Medicine, Walking in Shoshone Dreamtime, A Family System Constellation. She's a wonderful facilitator. She was the keynote speaker at our conference last October and is just a fantastic person, and it's a real blessing to have her on the show, and especially so much in celebrating Thanksgiving, we forgot the people who sacrificed and lost and paid dearly for helping the settlers coming from the old world to the new world. So I'd like to get Francesca on the line here, and let me get her here. Hello, Francesca, are you there? Francesca, are you there?
Yes,
hello.
How are you?
Hey, welcome back. It's wonderful to have you on Conscious Connection again. You're the first person, or the second person, to do a two-part show because we have so much to cover. And I thought, what better weekend than Thanksgiving weekend to get a more Indigenous perspective on gratitude and thanks for this holiday weekend?
Oh, thank you. Well, and I really have enjoyed the amount of time that you've been spending on your blogs and different things that you're doing, kind of looking at gratitude. And
yes,
I think that's so beautiful. It's one of the things that constellation work does, really as a upcoming mainstream methodology, that gratitude is so much a part of the work, and acknowledging and honoring. And so I'm really happy to be here with you, and I love the way that you've been really having that so much in discussion lately. It's beautiful.
Yes, I think it's much needed because, you know, people remember our ancestors. So my ancestors came from, you know, Scotland, Ireland, Italy, and it was no small feat for them to cross the big ocean without planes and jets, to with nothing in their pockets but their clothes, to start in the new world. But then we look at our founding fathers way back when, but we also look at the gratitude that the Indians felt it was part of their prophecy and the humanity they had. And
mm-hmm.
I'm always struck the high cost the Native Americans of the New World paid, and the first peoples of the New World paid, to support the pale faces coming to the shores.
Well, I'm so grateful for everything that that everyone survived. I'm really thankful, and I think that I have maybe a little bit kind of a fortunate perspective, because one of the things that I did in my early adulthood was I was working with a number of people that were including indigenous perspectives and traditions in mainstream educational materials. And so one of the things that we did was to help to better document things that people were doing in a way that it could be included for young people in the form of story, and help them really understand their own indigenous roots. And so one of the things that I did, partly for employment, partly because it was really an honor to be able to do it, was I would go with elders occasionally and help them to dig roots, for instance. And one of the things that really stuck with me was that for a lot of these elders, and my mother and my aunts are included among people who do know and recognize different kinds of roots that sustain people for centuries in indigenous territories. But to actually participate in digging for those roots really gave me a very personal kind of perspective, that there would be a kind of a sharpened stick that was fashioned in a way that you might have a little bit of a handle that was sort of attached with a bit of leather, and would actually, for one root that was maybe as big around as a dime, sometimes even smaller than that, for one root, you might have to dig as much as a foot into the ground to recover that one root. And so to know that for hundreds and thousands of years, people had been digging with that kind of conviction, and it certainly takes more than one route to sustain a whole community, and to really have that visceral perception of what did people do just so that I could be here, just so that I could be alive. And so I think that that a lot of times people have a kind of a very removed sense of what they might be grateful for, and it seems very ethereal. But for me, that was really, I mean, it was as real as standing there on the ground and sweating and digging and digging and thinking, when are we going to get to this root? Because, of course, it was identified by some variety of plants that you could see above ground. And so being new to a lot of these particular roots, you know, it would be kind of a wondering how long before we get to this little piece of food, and I had no idea how small it would be, this food that sustained people for so long. And to find after, you know, it seemed as though just the indefinite period of time of digging and find this tiny root, and realize what just the physicality of what did people have to do. And I think that for all of us coming from roots, you know, pre-technology and those kinds of things, to really understand in that way what we have to be grateful for is really quite, yeah, I mean, it's very humbling, really humbling.
Yes, absolutely. So, and we know along the way, I mean, part of the whole pilgrim story is that the pilgrims could barely eke out survival here in the New World, and the Indians knew what berries, what roots, whatever, to help them feed and grow. I remember in grammar school the story that the Indians said, put the corn in a fish and then bury the fish so it's fertile for the, you know, to sprout into corn so you'll have grain. So there was a lot of indigenous knowledge on how to eat. And when you really look at our ancestors and the first peoples, food is the major thing. I mean, you have one bad crop or something goes wrong with your food supply in the middle of winter, it was a matter of life or death over food or no food. So the stakes were very high with the simplest thing, food and shelter.
Right, right. Well, and I think that one of the things that I'm very appreciative of is that in this work there really is kind of an appreciation of destiny and what particular people's destinies were, so that that those that really suffered a tremendous amount, there is a way to really acknowledge their suffering, and in acknowledging their suffering, really realize that it's not appropriate and it's not necessary for me to carry what actually belongs to them.
Right,
so
absolutely.
Yeah, there's so many different things that happened throughout history, and our historical perspectives are a little bit limited. We're a bit famous for not having maybe as good an understanding of history, but I think partly you talk about it at times. You know, the way that people had to forget or do whatever they could to cope with the traumas. And so I think that perhaps that's part of the reason that in the United States we have a little bit of a deficit in a lot of our academic programs in terms of just really having a good representation of what happened historically.
Yes, and the good news is, I mean, one of the quotes that I made for my website was, we are the dreams come true of all the ancestors past. So that goes equally for the indigenous and the occupying illegals known as the Pale Faces way back when. It's like we all had a common destiny and we made it this far in time. And what I love about Constellations is we honor the past, and ironically the metaphor, the roots of our past, intentionally with the roots of food as well. So it's like taking root in the soil to thrive and live and also honor the history and our ancestors without carrying those burdens.
Beautiful.
And do you find with that gratitude with the indigenous mind and your book connecting to our ancestral past that there's a common theme there currently with the Shoshone tribe or in America? Around those issues of giving thanks and appreciation and honoring our past?
Definitely, definitely. And I think that one of the things that's encouraging me so much about constellation work is that, you know, when you talk about this very sort of natural connection to food and these early early ways of sustaining life and providing nutrition, really being aware of the earth and those kinds of connections, that there's a real awareness that, that one's life depends upon nature and that yield. One of the things I'm so encouraged by and so happy about is that constellation work, looking really at systems, in many ways, a lot of facilitators are beginning to include in constellation those aspects of nature that really have a part in the system or really provide an avenue for healing. So, for instance, if there's someone who whose family was really decimated because of major crop failures and those kinds of things, that those traumas really are acknowledged and in a way that is very systemic and very layered, in that it really includes even representation of the orchard to see how central that was to that family and how much it impacted the fate of what happened in different family systems. So I'm really excited because there are a lot of different disciplines that are beginning to incorporate nature in interventions for trauma, really helping people to kind of re-normalize in a way their physical body system that's so reactive to trauma by going out and really allowing that natural system to be part of the healing process. So I think that that's one of the things with Indigenous mind and Indigenous perspective, the possibility and the capability that nature has to heal, that we can actually invite that into a family constellation as well, or a family system constellation. So that's so encouraging to me because that's a place where Indigenous tradition and those insights, and when I say Indigenous, you know, a lot of times I'm talking about really something that is universal. So even those older Italian families and original Scottish families, those that really also had this deep connection to their own land, somehow waking that up, remembering that field, that knowing, and reintroducing that into systems and to families and to individuals to help in their process of stabilization and gratitude.
A lot I'm finding with constellations when I lead them, I put the countries of origin. I've been working with an Indian woman who was born in Britain, and there was a serious conflict between the Indian, known as the colony of the UK for years, but having being Indian, Indian as in India, born in the UK, but of Indian heritage. And very often I put the countries because there's almost a binational conflict as where people emigrated or were born from as opposed to where their genetic heritage came from. So we found it tremendously healing to include both in any constellation process. And I just love that you're adding the earth and the place where people origin. The earth is part of that because none of it would have happened if it wasn't sustained by Mother Nature herself.
Absolutely. And actually, there's a big hope. There are a number of people that have been working with nature in constellations that have been working on an anthology. Some people from Europe that have been involved in seeing ways that nature could be incorporated in constellations and also using constellation work to look at environmental issues, knowing that we are not separate. There really is no buffer between me and thee as far as the earth goes and our prospects or our possibilities. So there is the hope that there will be a book that comes out perhaps in the spring that really looks at...
Written by you?
Actually, at the moment, I'm co-editing with Ken Sloan, who's American but lives in Germany. And there are a number of folks, it's called The Sixth Sense in Service. There are a number of people from Germany and Switzerland who've been involved for quite a long time looking at many issues regarding constellation and nature, looking at how systems constellation can be used to inform things like reforestation. And including my trainings, I always have a segment on nature constellations. One of the days in that three-day segment is public. I use a model that they've developed, so it's free to the public for one day, usually in a public space like a park or a university campus. And there, people from the community, it's also got a very community systems aspect to it, people from the community come to look for a short time at what can be seen in terms of hidden dynamics that have to do with environmental issues as they impact the community. So it's, again, very humbling that a lot of people object to cell towers for cell phones but are really not ready to give up their individual cell phone. So it's really humbling. And, you know, it shows us that we have a long way to go, but that constellation work may be, again, one of those beautiful methods that can help to mentor us in how do we not only find a greater flow in our own family system, but also in our communities, in our relationship to nature, even just remembering. So I know that you also do a lot of things to bring people into a place of centeredness and are comfortable with ritual and ceremony. And really, it's one of the things that that I think in conversation with a lot of people, it may be something that we're really hardwired for, that we actually
I believe so.
Really need.
Because especially what I love about your aspect of constellations is you bring in the indigenous and the ceremony, and you were one of the first people that I knew of in the facilitator community to include that in. And I think it's wonderful. And it brings, I mean, the constellation work is sacred in and of itself, but just to add that aspect is absolutely amazing. And I can honestly say when I did your workshop in Pasadena with the Earth constellation or the Nature constellation, I represented the four leggeds, that the field had determined that. I had no idea. Of course, I thought I wanted to be the sun and the bright and the sky and this and that, but the field had other plans for me, and it was absolutely deeply profound to represent the four leggeds of Earth. And there was a lot of humor there in that particular case, which I found, you know, funny as well. And it was, but it was
I think that's another thing about indigenous fields, that humor is so much a part of healing. So I think that it is constellation work very much is for me within the realm of ceremony and something that's sacred. And I think that that's why I'm so indebted to the folks from Germany, because when I initially saw constellation work, and I had concerns because there, it was coming initially from a field of psychotherapy from predominantly German, urban, nuclear family backgrounds. And so when I, coming from indigenous influences, saw people working in this knowing field, but without any overt acknowledging the sacredness or without any opening that really honored the field, this knowing field that indigenous people have used. And again, I'm extending indigenous to so many populations.
Right.
But this field, historically, really, virtually every peoples that have worked with this particular field have done something that acknowledges, you know, securing the buffer between the living and the dead, honoring this greater soul, whatever the terminology is that's used in a particular belief system or community. And so when I shared with a number of the really, you know, the inceptors of constellation work, my concerns and my hesitation about working in this without including some kind of ceremony or ritual or that particular way of standing, they were absolutely encouraging in saying, you know, these are sort of the foundations, and what serves you, what serves your community. And they really mentored me and encouraged me to be able to do a work that that I think not only I am comfortable with, but many people are, because mm-hmm. many people bring with them in their own family field this wealth of experience, generational experience, transgenerational experience, of working in many different aspects with this knowing field. Some people come from farmers, you know, who knew exactly when to plant, knew exactly when to harvest, knew mm-hmm. exactly when to cover the crops. I mean, it was a knowing. Some people
yeah.
that I've met were in midwifery and knew exactly when a baby was going to be born, historically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm so grateful to Hunter Beaumont and Albrecht Marr and Guni Boxaw and Snae Victoria Schnabel and just a whole host of really remarkable facilitators from Germany that really made space for this aspect of constellationist ceremony to be included.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's one of the things I'm grateful for, that they really made a space for the indigenous field to be a part of systems constellation.
Yeah, I think that's very important because, you know, that's another way of honoring our ancestors, you know, not only from our own country, but just, you know, around the world. Everyone came before, and it's absolutely fascinating. Is that we have a few minutes left here, so I just would like if you'd like to talk about your book, that we're going to have people who hear the blog to know how to get the book, and I'll type all that in so you don't have to worry about that on our blog talk link that we have here. But is there something you'd like to share with our listening audience here about connecting to our ancestral past, healing to the concept?
Yeah, my hope is that it's something that would serve really anyone who is drawn to read it. I think that certainly it will encourage people that are in the healing field already to trust what it is that they do know. So people that are involved in medicine or psychotherapy, social work, I think those are some very obvious places where this will land. And I think that there are some points of encouragement. I was very fortunate. There are a number of traditional elders and people who are working with various indigenous communities, and a lot of facilitators who allowed me to interview them or allowed me to include some perspectives and some aspects of work that they've developed around ritual as well. So it's a lot of it is things that I hope will be valuable for others, but it also is really engaging because there are a lot of varied voices that are not often heard. They're not all very public voices, but there also are some really lovely perspectives on parallels between indigenous thought and modern psychotherapy and those kinds of things. So there's some quotations from some of those Native American psychotherapists that have really been forerunners in trying to include a conversation around natural science and exactly what you described in the beginning of the show, those places where there was a deep understanding of a lot of natural laws and systemic dynamics and a holistic perspective that really was not fully given place until fairly recently. So there are some very specific things that are helpful. There's a bit on reconciliation around issues having to do with Native American boarding schools. In Canada, they call them residential schools. And what happens with people systemically, what kind of transgenerational trauma can result when people are extricated from their family system and put mm-hmm. within an institution. And it's been very enlightening for me because one of the people who thanked me wholeheartedly for that discussion about boarding school was actually someone of European descent who came from a family and was placed in boarding school as sort of a natural part of that social system, but still experienced a lot of the same traumas. So that was very interesting. I'm always really amazed at how much there is to learn and how I and all of us are limited by our own experiences and perspectives. And that's what I love about this work, that in Systems Constellation and in this connecting to our ancestral past, there really is such a discussion about really a bigger view, a bigger perspective. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, that constellation work and connecting to our ancestral past has a conversation about the connection between the living and the dead.
Yes,
and all societies have talked about that. Every spiritual tradition has talked about this place where sometimes the dead actually are not at rest. And so in constellation work, that that it's not exclusive to a particular shamanistic practice, but constellation work itself is able to acknowledge that and provide intervention. And how a person defines that, the language doesn't really matter. It seems as though the work itself is able to acknowledge that that inability to really allow the dead to proceed on their way and carry life in a good way, even though someone has died. So
yes.
in connecting to our ancestral past, that's one of the things, that those different indigenous practices and perspectives are spoken about just in a really, I hope, a really easy way. I think that it's also a kind of a book that someone could almost read as a story, because that's another tradition in a lot of indigenous societies, that there is story medicine, and story medicine has humor, and it has kind of a cadence that really allows the reader to not have to be so compulsive about retaining information, but just feel it, really just feel, what does the story teach my body? What does the story teach my soul? And so I think that constellation work and hopefully this book encourages people in those places that have not really been central in the kind of mainstream conversations that we have. So I hope that it is a part of that encourages giving space to those kinds of concepts and that kind of healing.
Yes, wonderful. And we just have a minute or so left. So what is the best way for people to contact you or purchase your book? And I will put this on our blog link to the show here. So is it best
Thank
for people
you so
to contact
my website is www.allmyrelationsconstellations.com. So all my relations and constellations are both plural. allmyrelationsconstellations.com. The book is published by North Atlantic Books in Berkeley, California, Connecting to Our Ancestral Past, Healing Through Family Constellations, Ceremony and Ritual, is available on Amazon. It's also available through most bookstores, so you can certainly order it.
Wonderful.
There are some bookstores that already have it in stock as well, but it's lovely if somebody wants to go into a bookstore or request it at your local library. If they've not yet ordered it, I love libraries, and it's very often possible to request a book at the library, and then other people have access to it as well. But thank you for the invitation to give the specs on the book. I appreciate that.
Oh, great. Excellent. So I'm just going to close really quickly. And my guest today on Conscious Connection with Gary Stewart has been Francesca Mason Boring. She's the author of many books, but Feather Medicine is one of her books. And her most current book is Connecting to Our Ancestral Past, Healing Through Constellations, Ceremony and Ritual by North Atlantic Books. It's been wonderful to talk to you, Francesca, and especially this Thanksgiving weekend, to give a truly large perspective to life in America and the world, and including nature simultaneously.
Thank you, Gary. And I'm very grateful for you and this show and the work that you do.
Oh, thank you. It's an absolute pleasure and honor. Until next time, we must do this in the new year after the Mayan calendar changes in December to discuss the divine feminine and all this.
Oh, that sounds good.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, Gary. Take care and thank you.
Hey, sure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.